the book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, April 20th, 2016, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldwideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is After Passover, Everything Changes. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne today. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you've yet to do. We ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit go out around the world through the digital airwaves to deliver your message to your people, Lord, that their eyes and ears would be opened, that they'd be ready, watching, and waiting for the imminent return of your one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for taking my place on the cross, that I may have eternal life through a life served unto you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we begin our show for today, I am about to share an update with you that will absolutely, totally blow your mind. Over the course of many shows in this year of 2016, of which the Lord God has mandated as the year of black days ahead, I have shared with you that I believe back on January 10th, 2016, that the Lord God conveyed to me by way of the small, still voice of His Holy Spirit that after Passover, this year, 2016, everything will change. With that said, as we delve into our first piece for today, you will find, just as I did, that it serves as a confirmation concerning the prophetic word that the Lord gave to me back on January 10th, 2016, where there again, the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit whispered to me, after Passover, everything will change. So without further ado, let us now review this word given to Mr. James Bailey, author of Z3News.com, dated April 16, 2016, which is titled, Three Historical Patterns Point to Passover 2016 as Major Turning Point. Wherein Mr. Bailey begins by saying that the Jewish feast of Passover is known as a time of major turning points in history. Three historical patterns are now indicating another major turning point is coming during Passover. He says that King Solomon discovered that there is an appointed time, a set time for everything and for every event under heaven, Ecclesiastes 3:1. Nothing just happens randomly. Everything happens at a set time following the patterns, seasons of time, which are as predictable as sunrise and sunset. Applying this insight to the global marketplace goes beyond the limits of our understanding, but history reveals predictable patterns govern the markets just like everything else. Seemingly random actions throughout the world are actually following God's calendar, or shall we say prophetic calendar, my friends, with amazing accuracy, he says, always arriving at major turning points precisely on Jewish holy days. Major market crashes have often occurred near Passover in the spring or the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. As pointed out in my previous post, he says, the third day of Passover, Nisan 17, has marked major turning points throughout history. My friends, it is also the day that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that the Lord God raised him from the dead. He says, analyzing these historical patterns can help predict what is coming. Long-term and short-term cycles are now converging during Passover 2016, indicating we are about to see another major turning point. This post shows how a 224-year cycle, 7-year cycle, and the recent triple top reversal pattern, which is something that's seen in the stock market, my friends, are all pointing to big changes coming around Passover 2016. These patterns were shared by businessman and market investor Aaron Brickman. His knowledge of historical patterns helps him to successfully trade the market crashes in 2001 and 2008. Beginning with the end of a 224-year cycle, Mr. Bailey writes, an amazing 224-year cycle connects the coming events in 2016 to the first financial crisis in the United States history, which occurred during Passover in 1792. Source, Duke University. This crash marked a major turning point because our financial system was birthed by it. In the aftermath of the crash, 24 stockbrokers met on May 17th, 1792, outside on Wall Street under a buttonwood tree to sign an agreement called the Buttonwood Agreement, which became known as the New York Stock and Exchange Board, which was later renamed to the New York Stock Exchange. Source, Wikipedia. The pattern of major crashes occurring during Jewish holidays or holy days has continued ever since. But 1792 was the last one to occur during Passover. This amazing pattern, he says, reveals the magnitude of what is beginning this year could be greater than every crash since 1792. Every market crash since 1792 has occurred during the Feast of Tabernacles, including the crashes of 1929, 1987, 2001, and 2008. So a crash during Passover 2016 would be the first since 1792, which presents an interesting picture of 1792 and 2016 as the front and back covers of a book marking the beginning and the end of our financial system. God appears to have reserved the more significant turning points for Passover, with the less significant turning points occurring during the fall Feast of Tabernacles. He further states that this 224-year cycle does not mean we should expect to see our financial system come to an end during Passover 2016. It just means it could be a very significant long-term turning point, the beginning of a series of crashes leading to the end of the dollar and our entire financial system. The 224-year period from Passover 1792 to Passover 2016 fits perfectly with the 224-year cycles identified by cycle analyst Martin Armstrong, who wrote, I have written about the 224-year cycle. These turning points have marked major changes in political trends. Sometimes society survives mostly intact because we blink, such as the replacement of monarchy in Britain or the overthrow of the king in Rome, giving birth to the Republic in 509 BC and the birth of democracy in Athens the following year in a sweeping contagion of political change. If we add 72 years to the Mississippi and South Sea bubbles of 1720, we arrive at 1792. 1720 plus 72, which was also the first panic in the United States real estate market. Now add 224 years to that, and we come to an event horizon in 2016. Now take gold, he says, which appears headed like a magnet moving into the 8.6-year cycles back to back from the 1999 low at 17.2 years, which also brings us to 2016. Add 26 years to the Japan bubble, top 1989.95, and we also arrive at 2016. Add 31.4 years to 1985, which was the birth of the G5 Plaza Accord, organized to attempt to manipulate the world currency markets, and we also arrive at 2016. Source, Armstrong Economics. So according to Martin Armstrong, says Mr. Bailey, 1792 and 2016 mark significant turning points, which fit with being the only two market crashes occurring on Passover. Specifically, the third day of Passover, Nisan 17, is a day that represents new beginnings all throughout the Bible, as documented in my previous post, he says. My friends, it is there again as well, the very date that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Continuing on, Mr. Bailey states that in 2006, Passover begins. In 2016, Passover begins this year at sundown on April 22nd and ends at sundown on Saturday, April 30th. So a crash beginning on April 25th is not only Passover, but also Nisan 17. Source, Chengbad.org. Concerning the end of the seven-year cycle, Mr. Bailey points out that Passover 2016 also marks the end of a seven-year cycle, which started on the Jewish holiday of Purim 2009. On that day, March 9th, 2009, the markets finally reached the bottom after the 2008 financial crisis. He says Purim started at sundown on the same day, just a few hours after the markets close, but that would actually make it March 10th, my friends, because evening begins the day. Mr. Bailey states that the original Purim occurred during Passover, which, my friends, according to the Word of God, would be in error, since Purim, from the very beginning, has always been celebrated in Adar, which is the 12th month on God's biblical, or shall we say, prophetic calendar. Beginning at evening of the 13th day of Adar, which is to say the 14th day of Adar, because the day, there again, begins at sundown. Being that it is a two-day feast, it runs through the 15th day of Adar. My friends, I do believe that the mix-up comes from the fact that Haman did plot to kill all the Jews in the first month, which is Nisan, of the biblical year. There again, which is Nisan, but the actual time for this deed, which never took place due to the faithfulness of Mordecai and Queen Esther in petitioning the Lord God for help, was to have taken place beginning on the 13th day of Adar and can be seen in Esther chapter 9. Now, concerning Passover from the very beginning, Passover has always been celebrated in the first month of God's biblical or prophetic calendar, beginning with the day of preparation, which there again begins the evening of the 13th day of Nisan, making it actually the 14th day of Nisan, for just as mentioned, the day begins in the evening. Passover actually begins at sundown on the 14th day of Nisan, making it the 15th day of Nisan, since there again, the day begins at sundown. I'm going to keep saying that so you can get it. Passover is a seven-day feast ending on the evening of the 21st day of Nisan. With that clarification in tow, let us now skip forward to Mr. Bailey's account, keeping in mind that Purim and Passover are never celebrated in the same month, according to the Word of God. And if you are paying attention, it will even be noted in what Mr. Bailey says next, when he states, even though the original Purim, he says, occurred during Passover, the celebration of Passover in 2009 was not until 4 weeks later on April 8th, he says. Due to the discrepancies between the Hebrew calendar and the Gregorian calendar, which occur often, and that I do agree with. For an example, he says, and I might add, it is a very good example. In 2016, we celebrated, and not we, but those who did, celebrated Easter on March 27th, but we won't be celebrating Passover until nearly a month later, starting at sundown on April 22nd, which is out of order because Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples before he was crucified and raised from the dead. My friends, it would be out of order if Easter, that is, was a God-given biblical celebration, which it is not. It is a pagan celebration that comes near Passover. My friends, mark my words, nothing is ever out of place or order when the Lord God has mandated it. Moving ahead, Mr. Bailey says that for the past 7 years, the markets have enjoyed a time of grace and an illusion of prosperity. But that period, he says, listen up, my friends, ends at Passover 2016. He says that if this seven-year pattern repeats, this could be the start of a new seven-year season of judgment, which is what last year, 2015, was on God's mandate. 2015 was the year of God's beginning of God's judgment, my friends, and it's continuing, as we can see. God has a long history of orchestrating events into seven-year increments, he says, including the 7 years of plenty followed by the 7 years of famine in ancient Israel, Genesis 41, 14 through 37. And the message given to the prophet Daniel regarding the 77s, which were 77-year increments, Daniel 9:24 through 27. So the 7-year increment for Passover 2009 to Passover 2016 is consistent with God's pattern. To that I say, my friends, it is indeed. It is indeed. Mr. Bailey continues by saying that another amazing pattern reveals exactly 7 years, 7 months, and 7 days between the event that ignited the 2008 collapse, which was the bankruptcy filing of Lehman Brothers on September 15th, 2008, to the start of Passover on Friday, April 22nd, 2016. My friends, look at that preciseness. 7 years, 7 months, and 7 days from the 15th day of September 2008 to April 22nd, 2016. Next, he says, which I totally agree with, only God could orchestrate global markets with such precision to cause these major turning points to align precisely with his holy day. Mr. Bailey says, I believe he does this to show the world he is real and involved in everything that happens here. He says that God aligns these events to reveal himself to the world, which is the same pattern he has followed for thousands of years, performing great signs and wonders so that the world would know he alone is God. Exodus chapter 7, verse 35. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Exodus 7:5. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Joshua 4:23 and 24. Finally, in the third model, of which is something called the W pattern, says Mr. Bailey, reveals major cycle turning points. He goes on to explain that the triple top reversal pattern, which started forming a giant W shape in July of 2015, reveals three symmetrical patterns, all pointing to a major turning point near Passover 2016. He says that these patterns appear in the Dow Jones Index, the S&P, and the NASDAQ. In the Dow, the market made major turns on May 19, 2015 and November 3, 2015, both marking highs. These turning points were separated by 118 trading days. If this pattern repeats, the next major turning point would occur on, listen up, my friends, Friday, April 22, 2016. As shown in the chart below, of which, my friends, you will obviously have to go to z3news.com to see. Mr. Bailey continues by saying, in the S&P, the pattern is very similar to the Dow, with only one day difference with major turns on May 20th, 2015 and November 3rd, 2015, which were separated by 117 trading days. He then goes on to say something very interesting, my friends, which is that if this pattern repeats, the next major turning point would occur on Thursday, April 21st, 2016. That's tomorrow, my friends. As shown in the chart below, he says. Mr. Bailey as well states that if the NASDAQ reaches major turning points on July 20th, 2015, the NASDAQ reached a major turning point on July 15th, 2015, and December 2nd, 2015, both highs separated by 96 trading days. He says, if this pattern repeats, listen up, my friends, the next major turning point would occur on Wednesday, April 20th, 2016. And that's today, my friends. And the rest of the world has not woken up to their day at the stock market. Ours just closed, but theirs is just beginning. As shown in the chart below, he says. He says that putting these three patterns together indicates the next major turning point would occur approximately between, listen up, my friends, April 20th and April 22nd, 2016. He further states that this conclusion is validated by the amazing symmetry demonstrated in the W pattern during the past 10 months, as shown in his chart below. At this point, Mr. Bailey states, however, technical analysts, listen up, my friends, are not expecting this pattern to continue beyond Passover because the final leg of the W, is what he's referring to, has been completed. And it was completed this last Monday, my friends, on the 18th. All the way from July, it's forming a W, and it matched the first leg of the W with the last leg of the W Monday, April 18th. However, he says technical analysts are not expecting this pattern to continue beyond, listen up, Passover, because the final leg has completed and a new pattern is expected to begin, which he says fits the prophetic revelation of a shift beginning at Passover. In conclusion, Mr. Bailey sums up this matter as follows. Like the first Passover, many that followed afterwards, he says, I believe Passover 2016 will be remembered as a major turning point, not just for the global economy, but for our lives. Mr. Bailey begins the close of his piece by saying that the three historical patterns documented in this post confirm it is just ahead. He said that everything is not going to change overnight, but a new pattern is expected to begin, likely resembling previous stock market crashes, which have taken months to unfold. In addition, Mr. Bailey states that another post is coming out soon to show that we can, to show what we can expect to see in the months ahead based on historical patterns of previous market crashes, which have been amazingly consistent. He ends his piece with a note of thanks to Z3 reader Patrick for sharing the finding about 7 years, 7 months, and 7 days from the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy to Passover 2016. And on that totally amazing note, my friends, in light of the fact that this Friday at sundown, April 22nd, 2016, which is the 15th day of Nisan, indeed does mark the beginning of Passover, and that this coming Monday, early in the morning, April 25th, 2016, or the 17th day of Nisan, will mark the true date of the resurrection day of the only Savior of the world, who is none other than Jesus Christ. I hope you will listen carefully to and enjoy our song for today.
Show me all the sacred places. Show me where my faith was born. Show me where my heroes live the life I'm longing for. Lead me to that ancient city where the blood of prophets runs. Lead me to his temple, take me to Jerusalem. Take me to the manger so humble. Take me to the streets where he walked. Take me where the grand teacher taught us. Take me to the cross. Lead me to the tomb of rejoicing. Show me where my freedom was bought. Show me where my sin was forgiven. Take me to the for a taste of grace. Take me to the manger so humble. Take me to the streets where he walked. Take me where the grand teacher taught us. Take me to the cross. Lead me to the tune of rejoicing. Show me where my freedom was bought. Show me where my sin was forgiven. Take me to the cross. Ancient mystery, human history, hear beneath my feet. Precious story. sacred places shook me where my faith was born. Show me where my heroes live the life I'm longing for. Take me to the manger so humble. Take me to the streets where he walked. Take me where the grand teacher taught us. Take me to the cross. Lead me to the tomb of rejoicing. Show me where my freedom was bought. Show me where my sin was forgiven. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross.
Oh, my friends, that song has a great significance to me because it came out after my first visit to Israel, and I've been there twice. And it truly is an amazing place where our sins were forgiven and the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth. Okay, my friends, let us now take a look at some other pressing news that was first presented last week concerning the earthquakes that took place in Japan. A piece posted in Z3News.com on April 17, 2016 by a man named Mr. Mark Shipowick, titled David Wilkerson's Mega Quake and Economic Storm Could Be Close. Now we're coming up to Passover, and what have we just talked about? An economic storm is going to begin. And what Mr. Shipowick begins, He reminds us that last week, southern Japan was struck with two earthquakes, first on Thursday, April 14th, a 6.2 magnitude, and again, early Saturday morning, April 16th, a 7.1 under Kasumoto, a densely populated urban area. Over 40 years ago, David Wilkerson founded Teen Challenge Ministries and was the founding pastor of Times Square Church in New York City. He predicted a mega quake would unexpectedly strike America following one in Japan. Are we on the verge of the fulfillment of his prophecy, says Mr. Shipowick, who goes on to say, in the second chapter of his 1974 book, The Vision, he, Pastor Wilkerson, that is, states, the United States is going to experience in the not-so-distant future the most tragic earthquakes in its history. One day soon, this nation will be reeling under the impact of the biggest news story of modern times. It will be coverage, he says, of the biggest, most disastrous earthquake in history. It will cause widespread panic and fear. Without a doubt, he says, it will become one of the most completely reported earthquakes ever. Television networks will suspend all programming and carry all-day coverage. Another earthquake, possibly in Japan, may precede the one that we will see coming here. There is not the slightest doubt in my mind about this forthcoming massive earthquake in our continent, says Pastor Wilkerson. I am not at all convinced that this earthquake will take place in California. In fact, I believe it is going to take place where it is least expected. This terrible earthquake may happen in an area that is not known as an earthquake belt. It will be so high on the Richter scale that it will trigger two other major earthquakes. And in this past week, my friends, they've talked about the earthquakes in Ecuador and the ones in Japan possibly triggering four larger earthquakes all over 8.0. We're getting close. Mr. Shipowick says, next, I followed the ministry of Wilkerson since I read his book, The Cross and the Switchblade, in the 80s in my teens. In the last year, he says, I've reviewed his ministry more carefully, and I have no doubt that his basic doctrine is sound. He was a self-sacrificing servant of God who, during his 50-plus year ministry, repeatedly ventured his life for the sake of the gospel and for the glory of God. Mr. Shipowick further states that you can listen to his, Pastor Wilkerson's, that is, first public description of his vision in 1973 in a video, of which Mr. Shipowick says is only a half hour long but is riveting. Concerning the video, Mr. Shipowick shares that one should listen especially to his, Pastor Wilkerson's, that is, description at the 10-minute mark, referring to spiritual Babylon. Rather than identifying it as such, Wilkerson calls it the super church. He predicts not merely the formation of one super church, but two. Super church number one, he says, will be an oppressive global antichrist organization. In contrast, super church number two, he, Pastor Wilkerson, says, will be the invisible, empowered, underground super church of Jesus Christ. This is the final gathering of spiritual Israel, long foretold in Scripture, he says. Mr. Shipowick says, as you listen, notice that he says, causes the formation of the super church number one, in other words, the Antichrist church, a mystery chain of events. He further states that Wilkerson never directly says what the chain of events is, but we have a clue of what the consequences of those events will be. Because according to the vision, Super Church number one is a coalition formed initially to address pressing humanitarian needs. This suggests to me, says Mr. Shipowick, a massive humanitarian crisis that will unite Catholics and Protestants overnight to relieve suffering. So it could be triggered by the fulfillment of his other warning about a mega earthquake. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7. To end his piece, Mr. Shipowick outlines an action plan in which he states earthquakes can not only destroy infrastructure such as dams, large earthquakes can change the course of rivers and the landscape itself. He says, what does this mean for you and me? The convergence of all these signs should cause us to pause and do some careful self-examination and be on our toes. We should get our spiritual house in order and have an emergency plan. Those living in low-lying areas, he says, or below dams and reservoirs near the epicenter would be at risk. In the affected areas, be prepared to spend the night in cars or outdoors because large earthquakes often have large fore and aftershocks. Continuing on with our current theme, my friends, we next have a piece by Mr. James Bailey of the Z3News.com dated February 22nd, 2015, titled Warning of a Massive Earthquake Hitting Japan. That was a year ago, my friends. Mr. Bailey begins this piece by stating that over the past few days, several visitors to this site have sent in prophetic warnings about an earthquake hitting Japan. He then shares that Neville Johnson shared this prophetic warning in his recent newsletter. Quote, I saw Japan being shaken by volcanoes and earthquakes. And this last week when they had the earthquakes, volcano went off over there, my friends. There's 38 volcanoes going off around the world right now. I saw Japan being shaken by volcanoes and earthquakes in a way that had repercussions around the world, he says. Sadhu Sender Salivary shared the following prophetic word for the year 2015. An earthquake will hit Japan again. While I tell you this, I am seeing a vision in the right side of the map of Japan, and that is where the earthquakes did happen, my friends. A very big angel is standing on the ocean, raising his hand towards the heaven. He says, I swear this in the name of the living God. This will come to pass very soon. Next, Mr. Bailey says that Nita Johnson received two major warnings from the Lord. She was shown that judgment in the form of massive earthquakes is set against both Los Angeles and Japan. She was shown that these would not be just big earthquakes, but massive ones that would lead to the loss of life for millions of people. Such events would also have ripple effects across the world and could bring down the economy. Next on our agenda is a wonderful and at this point uplifting word from the Lord God given to Miss Glenna Linkus, posted to Z3News.com April 17, 2016, titled My People. God says, My people, those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, not everybody, my friends, don't get confused here. Just if you're walking in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, doing all that the Lord has commanded us to do in the Old and New Testament, as far as what is appropriate for the New Testament church today, the Lord says, my people are poised for a new beginning. Miss Linkus begins by sharing the words of the Lord God as she writes, my people, you are on the edge. You are poised for a new beginning. The Lord God says, I am taking my prepared ones into the beginning of the next chapter of their lives. Glorious changes shall take place overnight as you watch the fulfillment of my promises that I have made to you long ago. You have remained faithful, and now you will be rewarded. I desire my people would enjoy their rewards in this time. She says, I feel he meant before the judgments and so much disaster are widespread. Miss Linkus says, who continues with the words of the Lord God as she writes, I desire those who know me not or who refuse to believe would see my hand of blessing on your lives. You are on the edge, says the Lord God. The new chapter begins. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old? Behold, I will do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Streams in the desert, my friends. And this is Isaiah chapter 43, 18 and 19. But in Isaiah chapter 35, it does say streams in the deserts. Okay. Though thy beginning was small, says the Lord, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. Job 8:7. My friends, the hour is growing ever late, ever so late, my friends. It is time, as Mr. Shifowick said, to get your spiritual house in order. For it is said in Psalms 14:1-3, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand and seek the Lord. They are all gone astray. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Moving ahead to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, it is said that we are to seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, since the Lord is his creator, my friends. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, as we cross over into the New Testament, my friends, and on into Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus Christ himself reminds us that we are to enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because, says the Lord Jesus Christ, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I don't know about you, my friends, but that would be a red flag for me if I wasn't already walking with the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, the writer thereof says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him which with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need." With that said, my friends, the way that you find help in the times of need is by entering into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only hope and Savior of all mankind, my friends. Whether they call upon him or not is up to them. They have a free will. In John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, by way of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," who is he? He's Jesus Christ, "should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," who is he? He's Jesus Christ, "might be saved." You might be saved because it's your choice whether or not you follow the precepts of the Lord God to get there. And the first one is to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a mandate of God to be accepted by him, my friends. "He that believeth on him," who is Jesus Christ, "is not condemned," says the word of God, "but he that believeth not in the Lord Jesus Christ," is what it's referring to here, my friends, the word of God says, "is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And that is word for word, the word of God. We as well, my friends, find in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus giving all those who love him this promise when he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so," Jesus said, "I would have told you. I," Jesus said, "go to prepare a place for you. And if I," Jesus said, "go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am," Jesus said, "there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way or the method, ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way or the method," my friends? Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, I am the method, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Who can argue with that, my friends? As for all who have, are, and will have ever walked upon the face of this earth, who would not, have not, and will not come by way of the precious and holy shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness and remission of the sins of the world, it, The doom that they will without a doubt face is as well recorded in the Word of God and is known as the Great White Throne Judgment Day of God, and can be found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, where John the Revelator begins by stating, "And I saw," and he did see, because he saw it in a vision, the Lord showed it to him, "and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." There are volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes and on and on of books, my friends, of those who are going to the lake of fire, who did not choose and do not and will not choose the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember that, because that's God's word. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and is where your name goes when you are in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, and will be spending all eternity with him. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works," because they chose to go on their works, which God doesn't accept. He looks at them as filthy rags, versus going with the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did once and for all people upon the cross of Calvary, and was the work God sent him to do. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell." Hell is a temporary place, my friends. It says here, "And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works," not to the work that Lord Jesus Christ did. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. My friends, this is a spiritual death for all eternity. You will one day be cast into the lake of fire by God due to your own ignorance of not wanting to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your way of escape, as your salvation, as your key to eternal life instead of eternal damnation. The choice is yours. This is the second death, means that once and for all, you will be separated from God, from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit, from all that is good, from those pesky Christians who tried to point you in the right direction. Once and for all, you will be forever and ever and ever and ever, without end, separated. And this is what will happen. This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My friends, the lake of fire was created for Satan and his evil angels and demons. It was never created for mankind to go there with him, but it is their choice when they do. It's not God's choice. He's given you his one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sins and has given us eternal life, if we will only accept it. But it isn't without stipulation, my friends. You can't live like hell on earth and expect to go to heaven in the end. The saying that the Lord gave me is, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven? Because you won't be. For that reason, my friends, the Lord God has given us all here on planet Earth a way of escape, or shall we say, a plan of salvation, which can only be found in his one and only begotten Son, who is none other than Jesus Christ, and can be learned by way of the pages of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, of which are as follows: "That if thou or you shall confess with thy or your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ," thy mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, "confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine or your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness," and I like to say right living in Jesus Christ, And the Word of God goes on to say, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or your way of escape from the wrath of God that is to be poured out upon the face of this earth and every single person upon it who would not choose his one and only begotten Son as their Savior. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. My friend, calling upon him is only the beginning. You got to live for him. And you can fool man, but you can't fool God. So don't go around calling yourself a Christian when you have nothing to do with Christianity. That's heavy, isn't it? But it's true. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friends, as I said before, there are 38 volcanoes going off around the world right now. You can go look for yourself. There have been numerous huge earthquakes in the last week, both in Japan and Ecuador, and various other places have had large earthquakes. My friends, there is even an article out there that says the entire earth is quivering right now from what's taking place. You know, the Lord says in his word that all of creation is groaning for their redemption. The redemption being loosed from the control of fallen man. Because you know, it's not the animals or the trees that don't have a right relationship with the Lord. He created them. And he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. My friends, today is the day of salvation. The Lord God has given us urgent help. Socorro, it means urgent help. He has sent us urgent help, which is the work that Jesus Christ, his one and only begotten Son, did upon the cross of Calvary. So today, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, today's your day. And you go home and you mark it down. Today is my spiritual birthday. And you start living the life. You start knowing God's word, knowing it well and knowing it correctly for yourself. You start seeking God for the indwelling power of his Holy Spirit so that during the times of great trouble that is coming upon this earth, you will have a way out. Because when we are weak, the Lord is strong and he is sufficient to take care of us by way of the power and anointing of his Holy Spirit. He can transport us in the spirit and remove us from the trouble if he chooses to do so. And if he doesn't, then we perish here. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you belong to him. With that said, my friends, I would like to pray this prayer today. And if you would like to repeat this prayer, don't do it from your head. You know, the Lord, he knows if you're ready. He knows if you're serious. But believe you me, if you are serious, your life from this day forward will forever change. And as you walk closer and closer to the Lord, you will see it brighter and brighter each and every day, till one day soon, and very soon, you find yourself walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. With that said, my friends, please repeat this prayer with me today if you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you would like to rededicate your life to the Lord because you've walked with him and you've fallen away. You know, stop believing the lies of Satan that you can't come back, because you can come back until the Lord draws the line. But Satan can never come back, and that's what's really bugging him, and he would like to see you just go on with him. With that said, my friends, please pray this prayer with me. From your heart, the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation, is what it is called. And it is between you and the Lord, not me. Please repeat with me. Dear Lord God, I humbly come before your throne this day, and I bow down spiritually. Lord God, I thank you for the gift of your one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, who paid the price for my sins upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord Jesus, I humbly come before your throne this day and bow down, spiritually speaking. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins and you would wash me as white as snow, that you would begin to empower me with your Holy Spirit, that I may know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly, that I'll be ready, watching, and waiting for your imminent return for those who belong to you as this world comes into the direct wrath of your Father, God. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I humbly ask you this day to please forgive me of my sins. And Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. With that said, my friends, you are now a half a second old in the Lord. Get the word, read it, eat it, spiritually speaking, and know it well, and know it correctly for yourself. Because when you stand before God, you are the only one he's going to be talking to. And with that said, it's a wrap.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?